Christianity has always been on the move. I mean, Jesus spent his ministry in motion. Our scriptures are filled with little transitions that are easy to overlook that speak to great distances. Anytime we're in the Gospels and we hear phrases like, and then they set out for, or and then they arrived at, generally there was a day or days worth of walking. Lots of journeying, lots of motion. Christianity has always been on the move. One of my favorite Bibles, and yes, I have enough Bibles to have favorites. One of my favorite Bibles is actually just two books of the 66 in the Bible. It's just the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Actually, Luke and Acts were written as a set, even though they're not next to each other in the Bible. They go together as a pair. And this Bible I have, it tells the story of Jesus in Luke, and then Acts telling the story of the apostles in the early church. This little Bible is called Kingdom Come, Kingdom Go. Because that's what this is, right? The Gospel of Luke is a story of God's love arriving in Jesus, bringing about the kingdom of God for all people. And the book of Acts is about going out into the world to share it and spread it. Kingdom come, kingdom go. The book of Acts is an amazing, amazing story. It is the story of God's kingdom on the go. Acts begins with the journeys of the 11 disciples. You'll remember they were down one due to interpersonal reasons. The book of Acts tells us about their life together. It tells us about Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Acts tells us how they chose a new 12th disciple. It tells us how they went out and served those in need, how they cared for the orphan and the widow, how they fed the hungry, how they healed the sick, how they sent out teams of people to teach and heal and multiply the ministry all around the world. It also tells us of their fear and their persecution at the hands not only of a world that didn't understand their new identity as Christian people, but specifically at the hands of a very anti-Christian religious leader named Saul. Acts chapter 8 describes Saul this way. At that time, the church in Jerusalem began to be subjected to vicious harassment. Everyone except the apostles was scattered through regions of Judea and Samaria. Some pious men had buried Stephen and deeply grieved over him. And Saul began to wreak havoc against the church. Entering one house after another, he would drag off both men and women and throw them into prison. Saul was on a mission of his own, and yet he was also on a journey of his own. In fact, on one of these journeys, he would encounter the risen Christ. The vision of Jesus knocked him off his donkey, left him blind for days. It was a life-changing experience for him. As Jesus looked and said, "Dude, what's your problem?" Okay, that's a paraphrase of the scripture. But that's basically what happens here. His transformation, I mean, we talked about this last year in our journey sermons. His transformation was so powerful, he had to change his name from Saul to Paul. And he became one of the most influential people in Christian history. He was the villain of these first chapters of the book of Acts, and suddenly he becomes the focus of the remainder of the entire book. And not just the book of Acts, 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament are attributed to him. After his transformation, the book of Acts quits following the 12 disciples and starts following Paul, because Paul was always on the move. He takes three distinct journeys in our scriptures that take him all over what we now might call the Middle East, journeying and visiting and becoming a part of life. He was a tent maker, which means he could go anywhere. He'd start making tents and start sharing the good news. He traveled from town to town, sharing the life, the teachings, the resurrection of Jesus. He was healing people, and he was inviting people to live like Christ. Now, this was not an easy journey. He was beaten, jailed, run out of town. Actually, these are all the things he used to do to Christians, and now it's happening to him. Paul spent his life traveling through a world in which his values and beliefs were counter to the culture and powers of the time. This is one of the ways that Paul's journey and journeys offer lessons and encouragement to us. As a community of faith that proclaims God's love for all people, which in theory we should just be able to say all people, and yet humanity seems to miss this point, so we have to get specific. You might see the list, for example, hanging on the side of our building. That God's love is for all people, that no human being is illegal, that black lives matter, that women's rights are human rights. As a congregation that seeks to partner with other religious traditions in solidarity, our values and beliefs stand at odds with the defining political and social narratives of our day. And we have a unique ability to speak to these issues. When I look at our big banner, I see a list of values that I care deeply about. Though I care about all of them, not all of them affect me directly in the same way. I mean, in many cases, I'm a part of a majority that is not oppressed as named in those lists. And the fact that I'm a part of a majority is even more reason for me to engage the conversation and the hard work surrounding these important issues. It is easier for me to show up, for me to stand up, for me to speak out the way I do than it is for many other people. And all of us can look at such a list and see places we identify as perhaps marginalized or perhaps as a part of the majority. Some of us more than others, each direction. Together as a congregation, as a community of people together, it's easier for us as a whole to show up and stand up and speak out the way we do than it is for many other communities. Grace United Methodist Church in Montana comes to my mind as I think about the privilege we have of being where we are, proclaiming what we do. Again, this idea of being able to use what we have to do something powerful is not unlike Paul, who amidst his journeys was able to do so because he carried great political and religious authority. You see, not only was he a Jewish religious leader, he also was a Roman citizen. That opened a lot of doors for him. At one point in the book of Acts, Paul is thrown in jail. When the local leaders find out that they just threw a Roman citizen in jail without all sorts of formality, the people who accused him of being trouble not only had to apologize to him publicly, they had to open the door of the jail and walk him out publicly for everyone to see it was their fault he was there. His privilege as a Roman citizen and as a Jewish leader gave him access and authority, and he was brave enough and courageous enough to use it. This is a reminder and an invitation to us. Because of who we are and because of where we are, we can live our values and share the good news that God loves all people and bring healing to a broken world with less risk than others, especially when we do so as a community. There are so many other people and communities who share in our values but can't be outspoken or public without great fear and great risk. That's why we journey on together. Now, Paul, as his story unfolds in the book of Acts, it's a beautiful thing as he goes out to, as our song named today, go make of all disciples. And Paul is known and loved in evangelical circles because he was a great evangelist. He introduced more people to Jesus than Jesus even met himself. But what's often overlooked is that Paul wasn't pushy. In Acts 19, Paul is in the town of Ephesus. Hear this part of the scripture. Paul went to the synagogue and he spoke confidently. He interacted with those present and offered convincing arguments concerning the nature of God's kingdom. Some people had closed their minds, though. They refused to believe and publicly slandered what Paul was saying. As a result, Paul left and he took the disciples with them. Paul, when he encounters difference, doesn't just dig in and keep arguing and become belligerent. He says, okay, I see where you are. You know where I am. Have a good day. He not only did this with people outside of his own tradition, he did this with people within his tradition. He and Peter got into it about what it meant to be a Christian. And they had a nice conversation and decided, is this really essential what we're arguing about? Or can we both just go still share that God loves everybody? And they did. He shared his perspective without judgment, and he attracted those who were searching for the love and freedom they saw in his teachings. Paul looked for people who were looking for what he was offering. Paul's evangelism actually reminds me of when I worked at Apple. It's a fun thing to work for Apple. You get t-shirts, you work in the mall, it's a great time. And Apple offered, as I was there selling things, Apple offers a service agreement called Apple Care when you buy a product from them. They've done a lot of research and found out that approximately 1/3 of customers want this extended service agreement. Apple Store employees are tracked on their Apple Care percentages. You know, how are you doing selling this thing? It's one of those things they track. There was a guy in our store who was selling Apple Care with almost every single computer and device that he sold. He was really proud that his average, like year to date, was like 80% plus. And he would share that with us all the time. And then one day our manager sat him down and asked him to chill. Apple knew that 80% of people don't want Apple Care, which meant he was pushing it on people who didn't really need it or want to buy it. I remember right after that incident, a team meeting where they reminded us all, listen, don't sell to people who don't want it. Just make sure that every person who does want it gets it. It's one of the reasons I liked working there. Just make sure the people who want it get it. My evangelistic theology was greatly shaped by this. I mean, I was in seminary at the time, but developed my theology of evangelism at the mall. And yet this isn't just some random mall happenstance. This ideology of offering people without being pushy is reaffirmed by the journeys and ministry of Paul as shared in our scriptures. Oh, this isn't something you're looking for? That's okay. I'm going to make sure the people who are looking for it get it. Paul shared what he did and shared as he did because he found so much abundance in the life and teachings of Jesus. He wanted others to know the same joy that he was experiencing. And if they wanted it too, he shared it with them. This is how we're invited to live. This is how we are invited to share the love, acceptance, justice, and hope that we can find in Jesus. I would never and will never ask you to push what we believe in this place on people who don't want it. But I ask you desperately, make sure the people who are longing for it hear it. Our world and our neighborhood, they're filled with people who are longing to hear that there is something more in this world, that there is a God who wants better for us. There are people sitting in this very room right now who saw our big banner and said, those are the reasons I thought I couldn't go to church. And now they have a community of love and support surrounding them, so they're not alone. You know, that's another one of the great lessons of Paul. He knew that people needed community. This is what he was doing, going from place to place, building community, helping people realize that they were better if they would do this life thing together. And not just because of exterior challenges and oppression, though those are very real. Our faith addresses some of the most vulnerable places in our souls. The learning that we're invited into as Christian people asks us to look deeply and honestly at who we are. This is not easy stuff. We need others to be with us and support us as we grow, as we journey in faith. Paul knew this. He created communities, groups of people who could support and care for one another. Something that was honestly lacking from the world around them. Something that I think still is lacking from the world around us. Deep communities of care who say, I want to know who you are, and I want to know how you are. You don't have to hide anything, and let's figure out where we go from here. Paul created these communities so that they could be in relationship as they spent time in the presence of God's love and acceptance, as they came to know and experience Christ's justice and hope. These communities, they met regularly. They studied the scriptures, they prayed together, they shared communion, and they served those in need. This is our model. This is our invitation. These communities of people made time to be together. They made time to be in the presence of God's love and acceptance. They made time to experience and share Christ's justice and hope. And that's what we're trying to do here. To create relationships that matter. To create connections that are deep enough to support us as we ask life's biggest questions, as we encounter life's biggest challenges, as we pray for one another through some of life's toughest moments, and as we proclaim God's love. We do so together. Because that's the best way for this journey to continue. Amen.